This week we are talking about Kerry Washington learning a new language, Viola Davis wants to get paid what she is worth, and Shondaland talks about Black Panther. All that coming up and more.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Okay. It's always a party. Shondaland.
I wish I had dance moves like that girl. All star.
No, but I can only imagine what those did. Yes. I can only imagine what they actually
were. Okay.
Hey, thank you guys for joining us again on this beautiful Monday for TGIM. I'm El Marie. You guys can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at El Marie TV.
And I'm Tori Broussard. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Tori_Broussard.
What's up, world? I am Keith Andre, and you can follow me on all social media platforms at Keith_Andre.
Hope y'all staying warm. I'm Lanisha, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Lanisha, spelled L-A-N-I-S-H-A 914.
You heard me?
Okay. Well, we want to start this show off by thanking you guys for tuning in to us. We really appreciate it, all the people that you guys come in on the comments. You tune in weekly, and we really appreciate you.
Yes.
And I'm sad to say that tonight will be our last show, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. We appreciate you so much for following us on Instagram and Twitter, letting us know what you think, correcting us when we had the wrong information at times.
Okay, very important.
And just being on the show with us. We do this for you guys.
Yes, I think all the engagement has been like phenomenal. Yeah. It's always a beautiful experience. So thanks so much for joining the ride with us. And it's not every day that you get to see a panel with four brown people.
Exactly.
So we are so grateful to AfterBuzz for giving us this experience. We tried this out, and this isn't the end of us here. You still see us.
You're going to be seeing all a bunch of our faces, and thank you guys for being on the Instagram, following with us. And we appreciate all of our lovely followers also on Twitter that we finally made.
That we finally got up.
It's okay. Just follow our individual accounts. Yeah. You get all the dirt. Mm-hmm. You get all the tea.
All the tea, right?
But we hope you guys are still up in the live chat because we got a lot to tell you.
Okay.
The show will still go on for tonight.
Y'all know we going out with a bang.
Right. Starting with this very rich wine that I brought tonight.
Okay.
This is a Chardonnay, of course, y'all. You know, it's a Chardonnay. It's from the Gainey Vineyards. And so I've actually never tried it, but, you know, we've got some golden apple, some spiced pear, some honey, some oak.
It sounds good.
You know, apparently it tastes best with butternut squash soup with blue cheese.
I don't want that.
I know, I'm not a blue cheese person. Yeah. Or, what was the other one? Pork stew pasta.
Okay. Yeah, I can see this with some pork stew.
I'm just going to have it with some cheese and crackers. But toast to TGIM.
Yes, Shondaland Weekly.
Okay.
All right.
Mm, oh, it's not
way better.
This is really good.
It's got like a sweet aftertaste, so it's not intimidating.
Yeah,
it's not.
That's why I didn't do my job.
Right, you can still feel like the harshness a little bit, but I feel like it's more sweet that like sweeps in.
Yeah, I feel like this makes up for like last week, even though Tori was so happy.
I enjoyed it.
So bitter, but this is nice. This has a nice sweet
taste. Or maybe I've just kind of warmed you guys up to the dry wine.
That could be the case because we had extra dry last week. Because this, I feel like I can just go.
A little more chill.
I won't.
That means it's good.
I won't.
This is really good.
But I could.
All right, guys. Let's go ahead and get into our news.
Okay.
Yes.
Shonda news. Guys,
this, I'm just going to let you take it away. I'm going to wait. Because I'm really excited about this news today.
Oh, okay. I was like, Well, Miss Kerry Washington, like I said, she's learning a new language. So she's learning Igbo, which is her husband's native language because he is from Nigeria originally. So I think that that is cool to learn the language of, you know, your husband and his family because it's, you know, it's that's deep.
You know, it's an honor. You're supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she, you know, obviously when you get married, you take on each other's cultures mm-hmm. and they're different. Mm-hmm. I think it's really cool how she gave both her son and her daughter Igbo middle names.
Yeah, traditional
names. And she has one too.
Right. Yeah, I thought that was so interesting.
Ogeche. Yeah. And it means God's time. And then the other one is Amarchi, which is grace of God. And then the other one is Kalichi, which is thank God.
Those are the children.
Those are the children.
Yeah.
I think it's so interesting. I think it is important that, you know, you take on that culture. You want to learn, you know, when you bond with somebody and when you become one, I think you should very much be a part of, like, the cloth of their family. So I love that about him. Especially knowing that he, his parents are immigrants, like, first generation. So it makes sense to want to, like, maintain that culture and, like, pass that down to your children.
Because that's what I was saying. Like, for them to be a first generation, that's their main language. That's their first language. Right. So you're going to be around it a lot more than maybe someone second, third generation, where they probably do a mixture of both.
Yes.
And then also, yes, your husband's probably going to pass this on to your children. So you don't want to be the only one kind of, you know, left out and not knowing something. So
yeah, I think it's something you're supposed to do when you marry somebody.
Yeah, not everybody does it though.
They don't. I think traditionally it's something that is kind of to be expected. We see things differently now. You know, living in this generation, there are some people who are born like Spanish, or our friends who's Dominican, and their parents may not want them to learn Spanish because they want them, you know, to have different opportunities or this and that. So I love that she decided to do that. Yes. And she's Kerry Washington. She directing Scandal, acting in Scandal, starting businesses, starting Facebook shows. And she got time to learn a language.
Then you know.
Y'all, I've been trying to learn Arabic for like a few years now. I got the Rosetta Stone. Really? When I went home, I brought the DVDs back with me. I think it's so pretty, but it's so freaking hard. It's so difficult. And with the Rosetta, like, it walks you through different stages. So it gives you like, you hear in the language, and then it goes to the grammar. And I'm like, is the accent on top or the bottom? Is it on the left side? Is it on the right?
Oh my God.
It's way too much.
Okay, wait. Yeah. So tell us something that you have learned. Say something in Arabic. Can you say hi?
No. Because it's not talked like that. I can say like Elu'elin, which is like girl, I think. Or I can say, a friend had taught me like Alhamdulillah, which is like a peace of God, or it translates to like God bless you.
Okay. But you can't say hi?
Listen. That's not the way the Rosetta teaches you, because they try to engulf you in the language. So you're like, boy, girl, man, it's just too much. I have to get back into it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Kerry Washington has inspired me. If she has the time.
Yeah, she definitely
I want to learn Spanish, and I've been saying that for
a
while.
That's what I was going to say.
Everybody should.
Everybody should know Spanish.
Or
it's like really sad. I went like all throughout school, like I was taught Spanish.
Me too.
And now, like, you get to college or you graduate from college and then you don't practice it. And so I'm like, I can understand what you're saying, but I cannot respond to you in Spanish. That's, like, my biggest struggle.
But here's the tricky part. There's different types of Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Of course. Like, I know my friends, they were like, oh, yeah, I've been to Spanish class. Psh, they're not teaching you the right way because they're slang.
Right. Spanish class learn, are super proper.
Maybe, like, if you learn enough, then you can be good. I remember one time I was in, like, an Uber pool with this lady, and she was speaking Spanish with the driver, and she had like cracked a little joke, and I chuckled. So she was like, oh, you speak Spanish? And I'm like, I know what you're saying.
Okay.
Just enough to know what's going on.
Well, I have a Spanish keyboard on my phone, because I do have friends who, like, they'll text me in Spanish, and I'm like, okay, let me
see, that's good.
How to figure out how to.
Yeah, that is.
And I have the Mango app, which also is like a app where you can, like, they teach you whatever. I know my sister was learning French and German on the Mango app.
Ooh.
And I'm still just trying to, like, recover my Spanish.
Oh, my gosh. But you know what? I think it probably is, I don't want to say easier, but it probably isn't as difficult for her. I mean, if her husband speaks the language, if he spends time with his family, and then if he's speaking it to their children, it's just, like, constantly around you.
Right, yeah.
So you're bound to pick up on it.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah, I think that's so dope.
Yeah, and her showing off her skills when she tweeted, happy birthday to the actress.
What was that?
Crazy Eyes from Orange is the New Black, so I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
I can't pronounce what she said,
so
I'm not even going to try. I'm not, because I don't want to be disrespectful.
No. Y'all can read that on the timeline. Or Twitter.
Or Siri. Siri will tell you exactly how to pronounce it, how to say it.
Listen, after Black Panther and all these African images and African languages, Y'all got it.
We'll get trolled. Y'all got it. That's all right.
Yes.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about Viola Davis because she is in the news this week. Yeah. So we're kind of still along the lines of all this equal pay and things like that. And so she basically was saying in an interview recently, she wants to get paid what she's worth.
Yes.
And talking about how the comparison to Meryl Streep, like everyone in Hollywood kind of calling her the Black Meryl Streep. Yes. And her in the interview saying, but I'm nowhere near them, like, financially. And the things that they get, I mean, Meryl Streep, and she also mentioned Julianne Moore. The things that they get, she doesn't really have, and she still has to fight for some things. Mm-hmm. How do you guys, we all saw the interview. Let's actually maybe take a clip. We have the clip of it, right? Let's watch a clip real quick so we can have more context on it.
This had me so charged up.
I know. Okay. She was speaking her truth.
Gender inequality of pay. Because a lot of the women who've stepped forward, and I stand in solidarity with them, okay? What they're getting paid, which is half of what a man is getting paid, well, we get probably a tenth of what a Caucasian woman gets.
Okay.
And I'm number one on the call sheet.
Well.
And then I have to go in, and I have to hustle for my worth. That's what I feel like I'm doing. When I demand what I feel, listen, I have a more than a 30-year professional career. I had a friend who said, yeah, but Viola, your career is better than my career. I said, yeah, but you can't compare me.
Right, exactly.
Once again, I got the Oscar, I got the Emmy, I got the two Tonys. I've done Broadway, I've done off-Broadway, I've done TV, I've done film.
Everything.
I've done all of it. Yeah. I have a career that's probably comparable to Meryl Streep, Julianne Moore, Sigourney Weaver. They all came out of Yale.
Name names.
They came out of Juilliard. They came out of NYU. Yeah. They had the same path as me. And yet, I am nowhere near them. Not as far as money, not as far as job opportunities, nowhere close to it. And yet, I have to constantly get on that phone, and I have fabulous agents, by the way. They are getting it. But I have to get on that phone, and people say, you're a Black Meryl Streep.
Wow.
You are, and we love you.
And that's supposed to be a compliment.
We love you. There is no one like you. Okay, then if there's no one like me, you think I'm that? You pay me what I'm worth.
Right.
You give me what I'm worth.
Yes.
And not, and even in terms of roles. Because when I delve into a role, I want something complicated too. I do. Just like building the most unbelievable structure. A sculptor wants to build the most unbelievable building. That's how I feel. That's what I do as a human being. As an artist, I want to build the most complicated human being. But what I get is the third girl from the left.
Okay, listen. Right?
Girl from the
I
left.
Really appreciated that. And then there was one moment where she had said, you know, she spoke about the hustling bit. I feel like I'm hustling for my worth, but I'm not doing that anymore. When I came out the womb, I'm worthy.
Right.
So I just thought that was so, like, inspiring and impactful because you do get to see, like, the reality of the situation. We hear, like, all these movements and different things in Hollywood, but you get to firsthand, like, see it. And, you know, in many instances, you can experience it as you maneuver, like, out here as well. So
And I think that she talked about something. You talked about it a couple of episodes ago when Ellen Pompeo was talking about her pay and everything. And I remember you said how it was completely different from a Caucasian woman to an African-American woman, a woman of color.
Right.
It's completely different. And I want to know what you guys also think about when Ellen Pompeo was like, just asked for it. Now it's different. Could we just ask for it being colored people?
I do think in Viola Davis's situation, she absolutely should. And that's what I was going to say. This kind of goes back to what we talked about last week. I am all for being given your worth. She absolutely, 30 years in the game, you deserve every penny that you are worth. But at the same time, are you doing everything in your power to get the roles that you want? That includes asking for them. Now, she very much may be, and if that's the case, then yeah, we definitely have a serious issue.
Yeah.
But if she hasn't, then...
Well, I don't doubt that she has, and I think that when it comes to like getting a role, I think that's a little bit different. Even with Ellen Pompeo, if she were to ask for a role, 9 times out of 10, she's not going to be given it because she's not the strongest actor. She's not the strongest actress in television. I do feel that if Viola was to go in and to kind of make these demands or feel like this is what I'm worth and you need to pay me something that's comparable to Ellen Pompeo, that she would not get it because that's just not the way that Hollywood works for people of color. You're not necessarily afforded those opportunities. And then I think a lot of the times the excuse is because you have this acclaim, because you've got Tonys, because you've got, you know, an Oscar. You were endowed for 6 minutes. Like, oh my gosh, how do you do that? You're the Black Meryl Streep. That compliment that is not necessarily the most complimentary thing to me because I'm still not giving avenues to like carve my own space. The roles that I'm taking, if we look at Doubt or even The Help, where she was able to, you know, craft this character and give us this experience, but still I'm doing everything that I can with the box that you're giving me. But I don't have the ability to present myself outside of the box. And how do we do that? Longer in her interview, she talked about, she said she didn't want to use diversity, so she said inclusivity. Because that's where it comes. And that's where, like, the real changes will be implemented, where you can kind of see the effect of people being included. You think of different platforms, and you think, like, how can we make this work?
And I think it goes to, like, the beginning of her career, or almost any actor's career. You kind of always have to hustle for that role and things like that in the beginning. And but to get to a certain place, like you just said, and you're compared to certain actresses who have all of this power in Hollywood, so-called, and but yet I still have to fight for, you know, just even a fourth of what they get, you know, or what the type of movies that they're able to get and things like that. So it's like, at what point am I just like a powerhouse on my own? And like you said, like, I don't, you know, at some point I shouldn't even have to ask for it anymore. I shouldn't have to ask. It should be coming to me at this point, because a lot of them, they get projects, deep projects, good projects with a lot of material and depth brought to them. You know, so it's, it also goes to like, yes, just ask for it. But at the same time, I've done enough. I don't need to ask anymore. My presence, you know, my work, should everything else enough. Is enough.
That's kind of what she said, too. She said, if you are dedicated to change, let it cost you something, which I'm all for. But how long do you have to be dedicated? At what extent, at what cost must you go to prove your point?
And I think that's the biggest question of all. Just like a couple weeks ago when we talked about the Monique Netflix situation. You know what I mean? Like, at what point am I willing to stand in the fact that I am a powerhouse, that I do have all these things? We see Monique doing that, and it could very well cost her career or all these opportunities. So it's just like, I don't know. It's a balancing act, I feel. And I, and I get that it's something. I feel like Viola kind of made it more, we can see the humanity of it, because it's something that happens regardless of wherever you are, where you're trying to like shift or like find these spaces. That's why in the beginning when I talk about AfterBuzz TV giving a platform where we're talking about Shondaland, you have all these people of color, like it's an amazing opportunity, but on the business aspect we still have to do, you know, what's gonna, what makes sense for our platform, what makes worth. And you don't discredit that, but you just think like it is a disparaging thing where you have to find, you know, increase ways and be more innovative and think of, okay, how can I take advantage of this so that I can still fulfill what I want to do and where people are going to buy into that, and how long do I want to play that game? And I like seeing that Viola is not willing to participate in that anymore. And she's at a good place where she doesn't need to.
Absolutely.
So she grew enough of an army, that's for sure, to back her up. That I give her that. Be like, you know what? Let me wait just a little bit longer. I got a backup, so you better give me my money.
And I think it's a good time to do that now for like young people and entrepreneurs. Like for me, being in LA, I'm, like I said, it's super duper inspiring to me. I've never like doubted myself as far as talent or this and that. But you do see like on Instagram, you can see all these people who post them like highlighting auditions or doing this and just trying to make a way. But you really have what it takes to do what you want. Like me doing my play reading at the end of the month, producing it myself. I don't have to worry about no audition process. You know why? Because I'm producing it. I'm deciding who's in the show. You know, so it really gives you like enough oomph to, you know what? She's right. And maybe things could have been different if she took that type of reign in her career early on. Like, how would that impact
her? That's like Jennifer Lewis, who plays the mother on Blackish, and she's known as like the Hollywood mom. But she said that she was asked on the red carpet once, like, what do you do when the phone stops ringing or the phone doesn't ring? He's like, I create my own, so I don't have to worry about that phone ringing. You know, I make my own projects. I do my own work, you know? And some, I mean, that's still...
It's not ideal.
Yeah, it's not ideal. You don't want to do that. That's still hard because how successful is that work? Exactly. Because you're putting in all of your own things, mm-hmm. you know? Right. So it's still hard. It's still a good thing I can do this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, right. it's hard too because you're putting all your own stuff in.
You get the fulfillment out of it because mm-hmm. you get to be creative or you get to flex your actor right. or you get to do yeah. all these things. You but at the same
financially,
time,
right.
it's not the reward that mm-hmm. you're necessarily mm-hmm. looking for.
Right. Yeah.
So I thought that was good. But I did want to ask, do you guys feel that Viola is the Black Meryl Streep?
No.
I was having a conversation with... Ooh, no. Here we go. Flag on the play. I was having a conversation with a few people, and I'm like, she absolutely is. What are you talking about?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like Meryl Streep has been around for a long time, has done a lot.
As has Viola.
And she okay. has, but I feel like Meryl Streep has had more diverse roles. Now is that what Viola is fighting for? Yes. But until she gets that, can I say, you're the Black Meryl Streep? Like, I don't know.
When that's unfortunate because I think, like, that's the whole point of all of this because it's like maybe she could be if these barriers weren't there, if they could be knocked down, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Because
yeah.
her work is good. Like because I'm stalking Chadwick Boseman right now,
oh
and I was just watching Get Up, mm-hmm. and she played James Brown's mother mm-hmm. in the movie, and I was like, even that little part, she wasn't in it a lot, but everything, every time she was there, I felt like I was captivated by her.
Yeah.
You know, even just that. So she is a very good actress. I mean, every Thursday.
Listen. Annalise, I'm going to tell y'all right now.
She's good.
I'm going to have to write a think piece on this because y'all are really trying. A lot of people have been trying my patience. I 100% that feel that Viola Davis is the Black Meryl Streep. I feel like it's kind of a disservice to her to call her the Black Meryl
That's
Streep.
That's what I want to say.
Because
like, no.
She can hold her own.
She's just
and
Viola
you
Davis.
Can even
right.
see the way that Meryl Streep right. speaks of Viola mm-hmm. and vice versa. So I think that she is the closest kind of gem that we have when we look at a mm-hmm. Meryl Streep who just has this longevity and who has been like super duper successful, but the mm-hmm. roles and the skill set of an actress as she is, whether she's mm-hmm. doing an accent or whether she's, mm-hmm. you know, all mm-hmm. she's just super duper talented. Mm-hmm. And we can't like discredit that. Two more points and then I'm gonna let y'all talk. I was the other day I watched Safe House. I don't know if y'all seen it. It's like with
yeah.
Denzel Washington.
Yeah. yeah.
And watching it, like seeing the end, I was like, oh my gosh, it just reminded me like Denzel Washington still is the best actor of an entire generation.
Yes. I'll
and so he that. Has like this credibility and this weight behind his name, and she should have that as well. Mm-hmm. There's no Denzel is the Black, maybe people will say Tom Hanks, but
you don't hear that. Denzel's
right.
just Denzel.
We never just yeah. they're exactly. two completely different actors, mm-hmm. which is what's just what I also feel about Meryl Streep and Viola. Like I wouldn't even put
believe.
Them in the same category. So I think that's
but I
honestly what bothered
it as
me.
As bad or bad, like they're both great actresses. But like mm-hmm. what you were saying, Tori, like they're completely different. Mm-hmm. I don't like that saying Viola's the Black Marilyn Streep. Like what?
Right.
Yeah, they are different.
Throw that title out.
Like but if, right. while we're
Viola.
On the title,
right.
because
right. 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 right.
I've heard people, y'all, I hadn't seen people on Twitter, and I'm going to tweet about this. I'm telling y'all I'm going to write about it. But people were saying, like, oh, no, I feel like Angela Bassett is the Black Meryl Streep or Queen Latifah. So on one hand, I'm like, well, if we're sitting this here and saying Viola is the Black Meryl Streep, what does that do to the caliber or talent? Or where do we place all the other mm-hmm. Black actresses mm-hmm. that are like... super duper amazing and
right.
dope. It
yes.
really lessens mm-hmm. them further. So I think
yeah,
right. that's, we have to get away from that.
And as much yeah. as I love Queen Latifah, I'm sorry.
right.
What?
Yeah, no.
Someone put her in that category?
They were just saying
and that's
because,
no disrespect to her. She,
yeah.
I love
but
her.
But that's probably because
right.
she's
but,
also been around
come on.
For
and
a long
they were,
time.
And they were saying for Queen, as far as not necessarily skill set, but if you look at her catalog, is more
okay.
varied
catalog. Okay.
than
okay.
Viola's.
Right.
is very
right.
much.
So, same with
okay.
Angela Bassett. I think
yeah.
she is more varied than Viola Davis.
Mm-hmm.
But do I think one is better than the other?
Right.
I think that Viola is better than Angela.
I think
but
just
they both are
the
trained.
Too.
They
my
are trained is, and they are talented.
My thing is just clearly it's just simply saying the Black version of somebody. Do we have that title at all? We're the white version of a Black actress?
No, but
do
you have like You're Pretty for a Black Girl, which is like for your everyday
equivalent,
person
yeah.
equivalent
so
like
yeah.
what is that
but it's interesting I think that we see that in women and we don't see that in Black
right.
actors
that's true
like, that
right.
is true like you said with Denzel that's very
we're not
true.
Talking
that's
about Chadwick true. Is the next or the you know so
right, right.
Yeah.
Well, we could spend all night.
Okay. Right?
This could go on and on.
So we only got one show left. We got to get it all.
Keep it going, hey. But no, let's go ahead and talk about some Grey's Anatomy news. So we have one of the newer actresses in the show actually about to leave the show.
Yes.
So her character on the show is actually dating
DeLuca.
DeLuca.
They had some history.
Yeah, they did. And I didn't really care for their history too much.
No, me neither.
Like, I wasn't really there for it. So, yeah. So her name is Jeannie Mason. Mm-hmm. Or Janine Mason, excuse me. And so she's going to be now the lead on Roswell. So they're bringing that show back. Mm-hmm. That used to be on, like, the CW about the aliens and things. Yes. So they're bringing that back. So she's going to have a lead role there. What do you guys think about her leaving Shondaland?
Right.
Like, that little powerhouse.
I'm on season 9, episode 11 of Grey's Anatomy.
Okay.
So and I don't care for her at this moment.
Because you don't know her.
I was going to say, you know, I do not watch Grey's Anatomy. So me looking at it, I'm like, that's a big move. And it's one that either is going to take you here or take you there. Like, I was just trying to think, well, who has left, like, a Shondaland project and, like, went on to like exceed the masses. Oh, it is a lead role. Roswell was like a huge kind of cult classic in the 90s.
Lead role, like you said, which is something that mostly everybody who has left Grey's Anatomy did not leave for a lead role. So I think that has to play an effect. But I also think when I think of her, I think of somebody who's still kind of trying to find her way. Mm-hmm. You know, like she won season 5 of So You Think You Can Dance in 2009. And then she went and did like little pieces here and there. Mm-hmm. Her her role on Grey's Anatomy was not that big where I feel like if we never saw her again, like it's not going to affect the show. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, so I feel like she's just trying to, you know, like get it where she can. Like,
and
so
I'm not mad at that. And probably if you think about it on the business side, contractually, you know, she must not, you know what I mean? Like Shonda, if I need you, you're going to be here. I'm going to have the contract to make sense. So shout out to you for securing a new opportunity, but I do hope that you know it can be difficult to translate in different like television, and they're bringing it back, so
sometimes with reboots it's like it can be a great thing or but it's also sci-fi and they have a huge community of watchers, so they may be excited and like you said, she didn't make too much of a mark on Grey's Anatomy, so it's one thing like, okay, yes, this could be a good thing because it's Shondaland and you know, maybe I can have other opportunities within this, but if you don't have them at the moment, and you have this other brand new shiny thing in front of you.
It could work. Yeah. But you know what I thought was super interesting, reading the article, that Katherine Heigl was on Roswell in the 90s, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so dope.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, did she also leave? Wow.
I thought that was so crazy. I didn't know she was on TV back in the 90s. No shade. I didn't know until Grey's. But I thought that was so cool. That was like such a fun fact. They both did the same shows. Right. So we'll see hers, like you said, in suits. And I ain't checking for her. I don't know about Roswell, but.
Yeah, I don't watch the show, but.
I watched the first one, the first edition of it. I don't know what to call it. I'm not sure if I'll be back. Because it was, it was like, was it late 90s, early 2000s for that show? Mm-hmm. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I was a lot younger, you know, into those things. And probably it was a cute guy on there or something. So,
well, let me tell y'all. Like, not here for one 90s really. Show, if you really want to revisit the 90s.
Oh, tell us.
Listen, y'all get on.
Say what I want you to say on, now.
Get on here and watch Dawson's Creek.
Yes! Honey, yes!
Dawson's Creek was life.
Are y'all serious? Listen. Y'all watched?
I watched Dawson's Creek.
Okay. Maybe I'm telling my age. I'm going to be quiet now. But that
let's just
life.
Talk about it for like 1 minute. Listen, I didn't watch it back then, but watching it now, it's so good. It's so much dirt. It's so much drama. What? They 15 years old. Their parents ain't there. It is high quality television.
It's almost like, okay, I'm not comparing it, obviously, to Gilmore Girls, but it's one of those feelings that you get when you watched it when you were younger and everything just went over your head, but then you go back and you watch it now as an adult, and you're like,
I feel like I might watch Dawson's Creek as an adult.
I would have known this before today, because I'm on like season 3, episode 10, and y'all, I carve out the time. Honey, when I say it's,
what are you watching it on?
So good. It's on Hulu.
Okay.
And it's so good.
Well, now y'all make me want to watch it.
I
I'm not going to say anything because I want y'all to go watch it.
It's life. It's life.
Yes.
Let's talk about it in the group chat. But it's, I'm sorry. But it's good.
Olivia said that show was everything.
Thank you.
It was. I'm really going to go back and watch it.
It's so good. The pilot, you like, what?
I was in my head like running through like 90 shows. It's like 90210.
I know. I want to say the right one now.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a cult classic, and it is deserving. It's been like it's 20 years or something a few weeks ago, but enough. Y'all just have to watch it.
I didn't see that show when it first came out. I'm lying. It was like 20 years ago. Sorry,
maybe not 20, but it's an old show. I mean, 90.
Yeah, it's about 20.
It's about 20, but we probably started watching it. I was in
a different.
Yeah. Like I can't remember what grade I was in, but yeah.
If you can make the time.
No, make the time.
Yes.
Not if, make the time.
Right.
I honestly want to be like, Lanisha, stop watching Grey's Anatomy for a quick
second. That's what I was saying. Right. I was like, pause Grey's Anatomy.
Pause. Once you get hooked in, you are hooked. I'm sorry.
Why y'all keep hooking me up on these shows?
Listen, it's something about the
90s. I'm never going to leave my room.
I know, the 90s was awesome. That's why it's coming back right now. Oh, yeah. It's nothing new right now in this time. Like,
everything is a reboot.
Is from the 90s.
And it's not necessary. They have
that All awesome. That's 90s. Have you seen that one? Mm-hmm. That Teen Nick?
They have all that 90s.
The old All That shows are airing right now?
All That, and they're playing all the 90s show that was on Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm.
That's all you got to do.
Listen, all right. We don't
talk about
Rugrats. All right, let's get back on track.
Shonda's tweets. We got some good tweets this week. Let's go into that.
Y'all taking all the time talking about.
You started it.
Oh my God.
Now, I really, really felt where Shonda was coming from in this tweet. When she said she woke up this morning, opened my eyes, and whispered to myself, Black Panther's here! Yes! T'Challa! No. And I was instantly recovered from Idris's engagement.
Oh my God.
And I feel the same way. Because my heart was hurt when Idris... I mean, recently he had this Essence cover and video shoot, and it was just... He looked amazing. Mm-hmm. And now he's off the market. Yeah. And that's not fair.
It's really
It'll
not.
Be off.
But I got to look at T'Challa on the screen this week. So I feel Shonda Rhimes right now. Wakanda Forever.
Wakanda made up for...
That's exactly...
Wakanda Weekend. This was Wakanda Weekend.
It was
a celebration.
It was.
I want to go see it again.
I did. I saw it twice this weekend.
I saw it once, but I probably will go back this weekend.
We all saw it.
Yeah.
We did see it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get through our tweets.
Let's get through the tweets.
And then she also said her almost 80-year-old parents even went as well. So it was a movement. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's so important. For the climate that we're in, it is so important.
Almost 80.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see the response that yields from like this because it did numbers. It broke records.
It's definitely breaking records.
And it was good.
It beat Deadpool.
Yes,
it is the highest grossing movie opening weekend.
Right, mm-hmm. In February.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
Black History Month, y'all.
Like Kerry Washington, she even said she was deeply. It was deeply moving, gorgeously executed and joyously fun.
Absolutely.
Black Panther is everything.
It really is.
And Viola Davis just went on a hashtag spree. Wakanda forever. I want to shave my head and kick some ass. My people are beautiful. Inclusion. Ryan Coogler is a genius. We have box office power. That is my favorite one. We have box office power.
But y'all knew that.
And overseas.
So we ain't even going to act. Y'all can act like y'all new to it if y'all. We've seen it. The numbers don't lie.
Yeah. Now you see it too.
And it's a good time for that resurgence for like black people in film, TV.
Right.
Because we had that before. And now we're getting into a space where we can have it again. Black Panther was amazing.
Okay.
I walked into it not knowing anything about the story, and I was so pleased.
Yes.
The words that came to mind were just like vivid and vibrant all throughout the colors, the skill set, like the just, and it was, I feel like Black Panther is an ode to like the black woman. Like, yes. That's all. That's I don't want to give nothing away, but it's all about
the women.
That power and that strength.
I was for them, like both of them. Like,
my girl, the general, stole the show for
Thank
me.
Thank you. Yes. Yes, she did.
With her speech. She was about that.
Right? She was so good.
Oh my gosh.
She was so good.
I feel like it honestly left me speechless. Like, there really aren't any words to just describe, like, the feeling that you get, not only just watching it, but the feeling that you got after. Like, I felt empowered
to
just
go
out and just conquer the world.
I've also, like, turned into, I feel like, a low-key comic nerd just for a second. I've gone back and, like, read more of the story of Black Panther. Because, to be honest, I never really knew about that. I'm a Marvel movie fan, but not, like, really a comic fan. Like, so I don't take it past the movies. But after this, I went to kind of, like, look up the story and the past and things like that. And I also found out that him and Storm were married. This has nothing to do with the movie, so if you haven't seen it, it's nothing to do with the movie. This is just their comic book life. Their characters were married. And I feel deprived because I didn't, when I watched Storm on X-Men, I didn't know that. Right. And we have this beautiful Black family, and you guys didn't tell us about it.
Yeah,
and
that's interesting.
She just had her separate. I thought she was single.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what they would have y'all
believe.
I believe
they had a child
Black
as well. I think they had a child. I might have made that up, but
I was about to say.
I've seen a lot of tweets just as far as okay, now it's time for like a Storm movie, but it was amazing to see, you know, Black people in that way. And I think the bigger takeaway is not just for children to see, like, that you can be a superhero, but in every capacity, just super intelligent. Just, you know, girls, just technology. It really showed, like, a great representation of what you can look forward to.
Right.
And we have some pictures.
Yes.
We all went out to see
movie
it.
Friends. Al Marie.
That's my photo.
I really love that photo. I love it.
Okay,
the photo's a little dark, but I was in my all Black everything.
You found your light. You found your
lighting. Some lighting in there.
You did.
And then who was next?
Okay, so I was not aware that we were supposed to take a photo, but I just snapped for my or Instagram
she all
for my
bootlegging in the movie theater.
It was at the end. Okay.
Did y'all stay? I'm sorry. Did y'all stay for the two scenes after that?
Yes.
Okay. No, I only stayed for one scene, and then I found out
like I said, I'm a Marvel fan.
But look at
Lanisha.
She's too busy trying to take her picture.
She's trying to be cute
to stay for the
scene. Right in front of my man. Okay.
But this next photo.
Okay, so listen, when I was going in, they had like all the stuff up, but when I was coming out, they just had like A Wrinkle in Time. So this is my friend. I went with Official Smith at Official Smith. Shout out to him. We do a blog together, but a podcast. He did this picture, you know, because they do like the mouth thing, and he edited to like put the Etch a Sketch. And I just thought that was so funny.
That is cool.
He said, "Don't
that
play with me. I love us for real."
For real.
I love that.
A real fan.
Yes.
Side note, though, I saw this photo and I was like, "Oh, look at Keith."
Oh my gosh. That's not me.
I clearly should have observed the whole photo. I would have clearly saw that it was not Keith.
It's all good. But I do want to go back. I'm planning to go back.
You need to. So it's interesting. So I saw it Friday night and then I saw it Saturday during the day. And I will say that, or not Saturday, Sunday, I noticed more of the technical details and really sat in and like soaked in everything that they said versus the first time, which I was just like, you know,
you're just so amazed.
All about the excitement and amazement. Yeah. So the second time around, you have way more respect. Mm-hmm. And I will say that I was listening to the soundtrack, obviously, before the movie came out. But this second time, like, I have been playing it nonstop since Friday. Like, it just made the soundtrack that much better.
I want to do
it. Every time I hear the songs, the scenes are running through my head. Like,
oh,
y'all.
Nice.
I'll be on a whole, I'll be on, like, a different planet when I'm listening to that soundtrack.
I want to go back and see the movie again just so I could really soak in the technical aspects of it. Because they really took each and every, not just one part of Africa, but each and every aspect of Africa.
Yeah. Down to, like, the colors of the dresses.
Yeah,
and
they
the
really,
the print like, on the outfits, everything.
They went in. They did their work. They did. Every
most definitely.
Well, we have some shout-outs. Let's give us some shout-outs. Because it is our last show, so we want to appreciate the people.
Yeah, we got a few minutes left.
Who have been with us.
We've had some people who've been on this ride with us.
Shout-out to all of you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, one of the shout-outs is from Kat Harlem, who said...
Are you going to read what they say or just do their names? I feel like you should just do their names.
Just do their name?
Only because we don't have a lot of time and y'all want to get...
Yeah, let's try to get one game in. Let's get a game in.
So, shout-out to Kat Harlem.
Yes.
All right, she's been following. And then shout out to Deneen Washington.
Hey.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Wait, one of them had a specific question, I feel like, relating to something about
that one's next. Coming up.
Okay. I just want to make sure we answer their question.
So Jair Santillan? Santillan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And his question was, do you know where is Grey's Anatomy?
But
after
he did
show?
Say that he follows us every
yeah,
week.
He follows us too.
Yeah. And then he wanted to know about Grey's Anatomy.
So, yes. Grey's Anatomy will be back
March 1st.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure the first was like
Tori
March 1st. Yes.
Yeah, it's
Tori March will be joining in the panel. So I'm on the Grey's Anatomy panel. Tori will be joining. I'm excited about that. So we did miss last week, but we will double up for the episode we missed and the current episode on March 1st.
So it's a total of 3 weeks that they aren't showing an episode and there's no after show as well.
Yeah. Yeah,
super excited for the Olympics to come back.
That's what's on right now.
All right, guys.
And there was one more. Deborah Battle. Who left us some comments. So
and
shout
she
out
was
to
playing
her.
The game. She played the game.
Yeah, she was
Hopefully you can play tonight and help Tori.
Hopefully you're watching. Because Tori needs the help.
Yes, and actually somebody told me that they were in the live comments last week trying to help me, but when the show was not looking... So I'm going to need you to pay attention.
Wait a minute. Because I told you guys I was coming in the chat and no one acknowledged
you. You weren't in the chat. We didn't see you say nothing.
I agreed with Tori about, you know, you didn't want...
She lying, y'all.
What's the name to help? You wanted to reverse for the
early season. I absolutely did.
And no one said anything.
Can you hand me a pen, please?
Let's get to this game.
So I can go ahead and win it.
So the first one is going to be...
We're going to do... Let's do the Black History Month. Yeah, so we make sure we get that in.
Go out with Black History Month, y'all.
Yes. Okay. That was very strong in the country. Excuse me.
yes.
All right. So, this is our Black History game of Who Did That? Okay. So, the first question is, who is one of the first surgeons to perform open heart surgery? Mm-hmm. Is it A, Preston Burke?
Yes.
B, Charles Drew? Or C, Daniel Hale Williams?
Is this fictional or no, I'm playing?
Wait, who's the second guy again?
Who's the second?
Yeah.
B, Charles Drew, or C, Daniel Hale Williams?
She always trying to go back.
Y'all ready?
No. Ready.
One,
ready,
two,
flip. Oh.
C, you're right.
Hey! That was going to be my first answer.
So it was Daniel Hale Williams.
I admit.
In 1893, he performed open heart surgery. There were only two other surgeons before him to do it, and he was the first Black surgeon to do open heart surgery.
Who got it right in the live chat?
Nobody.
No one's trying to help me. Tori needs help.
You know what got us is because last week I was talking about Charles Drew with the blood banks and stuff.
Yes.
And how he was
a
surgeon. So I was like, yes.
I did that on purpose. Okay.
Real cute.
Number two. Who is known as the founder of Chicago?
Ooh.
Is it A, Jean-Baptiste Pointe-du-Sable?
Okay.
B, Elijah McCoy? Or C, Bessie Coleman?
You know, just because you're from Chicago doesn't mean...
Okay.
Okay, who was the second one again?
Oh, my God.
Elijah McCoy.
If you say, oh, my gosh, one more time, I'm just trying to make sure I get the
right
ready?
Answer. You're not going to get it right.
Right, ready? One, two, three.
It was A.
Oh,
Jean-Baptiste Dussault.
That long name.
I don't want to play anymore.
But I want you guys to know that
you lost anyway.
A Black man responsible for discovering Chicago.
Oh, there's
in the 1780s.
Nice. Yes. There's still hope because she only got one answer.
Yeah, there's still hope. Okay.
Oh, wow. So thanks for being nice.
So listen,
it's about me. I could win.
listen. Okay. Who were the first fighter pilots in the Army?
Okay.
A, Buffalo Soldiers. B, Harlem Hellfighters, or C, Tuskegee Airmen.
Now y'all better get this right.
Oh my God!
Wait, that makes
sense. Wait, are you serious? Read it all over again.
What was the
Buffalo Soldiers? B, Harlem Hellfighters, or C, Tuskegee Airmen?
Okay. I feel
flip them.
Y'all ready?
One, two, three.
Okay. Yeah. Cut dog it. Yeah, you two are right.
So it's a tie.
Oh, look, they were up. I should have
This is the second time you have failed.
Tiebreaker. Okay. What is Black Panther's uncle's name?
Oh, I'm looking, y'all.
Wait, please tell me you got multiple choice for that.
Is it A?
Okay.
M'Baku?
Come on, Black Panther people.
B? Njabu? Or C? Njitaka?
Njitaka.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, shoot.
We all had
B.
She wins.
We already know, right?
Njitaka is Killmonger, and M'Baku was the...
I win.
All right, so, but we learned something for Black History. Daniel Hale Williams was the first Black man to perform open-heart surgery in the 1800s. Jean-Baptiste DuSable discovered Chicago in the 1700s. And the Tuskegee Airmen were the first fighter pilots in the Army.
Nice, that's awesome.
That was really cool, though.
Great job.
Like, even though I lost every single time, I really enjoyed playing that game.
I did, too. I think it was a staple of the show. I'm glad we had that experience.
Yes. And once again, I just want to thank everyone for tuning in, being in the live chat tonight.
Yes.
I'm glad that we were able to entertain you guys because you did like the show.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that you guys were here with us every week.
And we really liked the show. And please know that you can follow us wherever we go, doing whatever we do on all of our social media platforms.
And yes.
We'll still be here. I mean, it was an amazing opportunity. I think it's super duper important, like I said, to thank AfterBuzz TV for giving us this type of platform to do this type of thing on our own merit. You know, we brought our own content to the show.
Yes,
we did.
Which is dope. And we get to go out with Black History Month as a panel.
Cheers to that.
Woo-hoo.
Okay. Yes.
And be sure to follow all of our other shows. Like for me, Once Upon a Time comes on Mondays at 7 p.m.
Mondays, Tuesdays, This Is Us will be back, I think, next week at 10 p.m.
And Thursdays for us, for Grey's Anatomy.
We'll be back March 1st.
Yes, we will.
Okay.
So you guys can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at ElmarieTV.
Thank you, guys. It was a lot of fun. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Tori_Broussard.
And always, you can check out your boy all over social media at Keith_Andre.
You already know I'm Lanisha. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Lanisha, spelled LANISHA
914.
You heard me. Shout out to Weekly. Out.
Hey. Wakanda forever, right?
Yeah.
Wakanda.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.